And I want to, you know, I'm giving a lecture on Akoras HaTov. So there would be something wrong with me if I would not also begin by giving Akoras HaTov to Phil for all of his wonderful work. And we wish Refuah Shleima to his father, and we dedicate this shiur to the Refuah Shleima of his father and the Soch Shachol Kochel Yisrael. And I want to thank Aviva and all of the wonderful committee that are involved in ACT. And I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you on a very important subject. The title that I chose for discussing Hakaras HaTov, the title is Hakaras HaTov, which is gratitude, more than just saying thank you. And our objective is to know what is the dynamic of Hakaras HaTov. It's more than just feeling gratitude, but it's more than feeling a thank you. In fact, tonight hopefully we'll learn that Hakaras HaTov, the more research I've done, I was really amazed, that we'll learn that Hakaras HaTov is absolutely elemental, fundamental, and absolutely essential for a person to possess and to really be an expert in, because true success in life and in the service of Hashem is really only found when one is an expert in this midah, in this characteristic of Hakaras HaTov. And we will look into various places where there is Hakaras HaTov. And actually, there's a book that begins this lecture, the kickoff, that the ACT participants will be able to have, to work with that book. And my objective tonight is not simply to speak about Hakaras HaTov. It's a nice thing, but I really wanted to, at the end of this whole presentation, for us to have a mutual understanding that it is something that is life-changing. If a person becomes more sensitive to this idea of Hakaras HaTov, then he really is able to tap into spiritual resources, parts of themselves that they really heretofore would not be able to have reached. And actually, there's an alternate title for my lecture, and the alternate title is that hopefully you'll thank me for giving this lecture at the end. I tell you the truth, it's a wonderful thing to give a shiur on Hakaras HaTov, because it's like it's a no-lose situation. I mean, even if you don't give a nice presentation, who's going to say, you know? I mean, who's not going to give you Yashir Koyach at the end of this lecture, right? I mean, it's a terrific thing. So I right away jumped at the opportunity to give a lecture on Hakaras HaTov. So let's talk about Hakaras HaTov. I did a lot of research on Hakaras HaTov. In fact, I tried to tap and pick the brains of a lot of people who I know are Makir Tova. And I think part of understanding Hakaras HaTov, you have to understand the other side of the coin, which is ingratitude, Kafiyas Tova. Because they're really the two sides of a coin. You can either swing from being a kofi toiva or have a Hakaras HaTov. The two really go together. So I really also interviewed a lot of people who I knew are kofi toiva, you know. But after asking a few questions, they had no appreciation for what I was saying, so I just stopped. Okay, so let me start with a story. This is a story that was a very frightening story that occurred to a grandmother. It's a beautiful day. She was going with her beautiful toddler grandchild, dressed up, you know, in a perfect outfit.
They were walking on the beach.
It was just a wonderful, beautiful day, calm as anything. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was this wave, unbelievable wave, monster wave that came out of the ocean and plucked the grandchild out, the little baby, from the grandmother's hand and went out to sea. And the grandmother went in the sugar. She was, you could only imagine. You could only imagine what happened. She was crying out to Hashem, please, please, save my baby, give me my baby back, please. And miraculously, a wave came in and washed the baby right back into the grandmother's arms. Unbelievable. Can you imagine how she felt? She looked up to heaven. She said to God, he was wearing a red hat. Where's the red hat? And that is the whole lecture. In so many ways, you know, we complain about the red hat. And this idea of being Makir Tova or looking at what the baby's missing is something that are two sides of the coin. And I wanted to explore Hakaras HaTov, gratitude, and ingratitude, Kfias Tov. My Zayda, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, was Rabbi Small from Chicago. Rabbi Small was a very famous rabbi. I think he had a bracha at Yerushalayim brachas, right, Rabbi Tzvi? And I would be remiss, we're so honored to have Rabbi Maikoff from Poli Tzedek, who is here, honoring us with his presence. My Zaydi used to have an expression. He used to say, I don't know why this guy hates me, I never did him a taifa. I don't know why he hates me, I never did him a taifa. And actually, I heard that this is an idea that comes from no one greater than the Chassam Sefer himself. The great Moshe Sefer, he himself, the great Gadol HaDor, he himself made this statement. And it's, you know, and what is it predicated on? It's something that really we all experience sometime in our life, which is, why is it that people you do so much for are unable to feel any gratitude, and in fact there's sometimes a level of ingratitude, and it happens with families, it happens with friends, it happens with people who you've done things for. And that's something to explore. And if this never happened to you, you are lucky. But the truth is, if you're a giving person, this happens more times than you could even count. And it's human nature. So how come the world is filled with people who just literally ingratitude, people who feel things are coming to them? And this is totally not a Jewish way of looking at things. And in fact, if you look through the Chumash and the Maamorei Chazal, you look through what our sages speak about, you will see that this actually points to the first Avera of Adam HaRishon. What was the first Avera of Adam HaRishon? And I gave a little handout here. If anybody doesn't have it, it's over there if you need any more. And if you notice, the first Avera of man was eating from the Eitz Hadas, right? And then he was caught. And then God said to him, Ayeko, where are you? He was hiding. He was in trouble. He knew. Vayemer eskocha shamati bagon, and he saw that he was naked. So this is why. Vayemer, so God said to him, who told you you were naked? He wanted him to do tshuva. Hamin ha'etasher tzvisicha levil to achol mimenu acholta. You ate from the tree that gave you this knowledge. So how do you explain yourself? So what was Adam HaRishon's first explanation? That woman who you gave me, see, you blame it on your wife. That wife you gave me, she was the source of all of my tzaras. She is the reason why I did it, okay? So instead of taking responsibility himself, what did he do? Right away, he went to that characteristic of humanity, that ultimate sin, and he went to blaming on somebody else. And look at Rashi. Look at number one, and look at number two by Yud Beis, Asher Esati Imani, Kan Kofar B'Toyva. This becomes a slippery slope of Aveira. It begins with Kfiyas Tova, ingratitude. You're an ingrate. You don't recognize what somebody did for you. That is the beginning of the initial sin of man. You want to know where the sin of man comes from? Then it's all greased with this Kofi Tova. Adam HaRishon already engaged in this Kfiyas Tova. And this is this really is reflected in so many different places. This idea of Kfiyas Tova, in fact, by the Dor HaFloga, it mentions that the Bnei Adam, that they came to see what the Bnei Adam created, the Migdol. And Rashi there, Chazal say, that what is the Bnei Adam? We, of course, they created the Tower of Babel. So who else created it? Was it donkeys? Was it camels who created it? It had to be humanity. So why does the Pasuk say Bnei Adam? And Chazal learned it's the same Bnei Adam. They were rebelling against God. They didn't want to appreciate what God did for them. They wanted to say that they are the power, they're supreme, and they wanted to deny all the good that God did. They are the same individuals who took up exactly what Adam HaRishon started. Ingratitude. Okay, this is the idea. And if you will see that there are various places where the Torah points out where there was gratitude that individuals were very much participated in, and there was an ingratitude. There is the beginning of the Torah. The beginning of the Torah begins with the word Bereishis Baralikim. In the beginning, God created. So the very first Rashi we know, it says Bereishis. So there's a play on word, Bereishis. For Reishis. What's Reishis? For Reishis means that refers to the first, which is the Jewish people. God created the world because of the Jewish people. Bereishis, God created the world because of Reishis Chochma of the Torah. And what is Bereishis? Bereishis, the Ramban brings down the Medrash, that it refers to because of Bikurim. That God created the whole world because of Bikurim, because of the mitzvah of Bikurim. And the question is, that why is it that of all the mitzvahs, you have 630 mitzvahs, why is Bikurim chosen above all the other mitzvahs that God says, I created the world? If you look at Bikurim, there's an extra halacha. The halacha is that you not only have to bring the first fruits of the seven species that grow in Israel of your farm, of your vineyard, of your land, that a Jew has to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, give it to the Kohen, and then you have to say the Higati Hayom, you have to say a special speech that we say by the Haggadah too, that you say a special speech of thanksgiving to Hashem. And if you look there at Rashi, look at number 3 in your and you go through that Parsha, you're supposed to have a whole thanksgiving of the thankfulness that you will have to God for all of Jewish history, going all back to Yaakov Avinu, of how he was saved by Lavan, and how we were given the land, and you took us out of Mitzrayim, and then you gave us the land, and we now come to this land, and I want to thank you, Hashem, for all of the tzayva that you did for me and for my family, so that this is an expression of thanksgiving. So the Pasuk says, and you have to say to him, to God, you have to say Yomarta Elov. And Rashi points out, why does the Torah say Yomarta Elov? If you're going to make this statement, of course you're going to say it. So what does it mean, Yomarta Elov? You have to say, Rashi says, She'ein Chokofli Toiva. You see, you could bring a present to God, but to be a prerequisite for that present is that you can't be an ingrate. You have to show your appreciation. You have to not just say thank you. You can't be a kofli toivah. You can't be someone who is an ingrate. Now it's not written in any of the, let me just share with you a Gemara, a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi brings down that Yaakov Avinu, when he got back from Lavan, and he came to the land by Shechem, he made like marketplaces for people. Why? Because he was so appreciative to the community there for allowing him to settle there and having a place to be. So you see that right away Yaakov Avinu engaged in Hakaras HaTov. He wanted to do something for the community by virtue of living there and having a place to be. In the Ramban brings down, in Parshas Kiseitse, that Hakaras HaTov, the Rambam says, is a part of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that's why the Torah says, if you look at number 7 on your sheet, you will see, Loitisayv Admoini Kiyochichuhu. Like to say of Mitzri, you're not allowed to hate a convert who is a Mitzri. Now, we sit by the Haggadah, right? By the Seder. Mit Hashem, you know, I know Pesach is, it's not yet Purim, but Pesach is coming, right? I'm sorry, ladies. So, we talk about, we have the Moror, we talk about the Shiva Mitzrayim, the atrocities, how horrible they treated us. They dehumanized us, they enslaved us, they killed our babies, they did such horrible things to our people. And yet, the Mitzri, when he becomes a convert, he is allowed, now every part of humanity, everyone's allowed to be Jewish if they want to. But certain people, because of the nation they come from, they aren't allowed to marry the regular Am Yisrael. They can't marry the regular. They have to marry their own kind. They can marry another ger, but they can't marry a miyucha, someone who comes as a Yisrael, Levi, you know, and of course the Kohen, but even a female Kohenis. So all of these laws apply to a Mitzri. Now by a Mitzri, you would think that this person should be barred because of what the atrocities, what these terrible people did to our people. But the Torah says that there is a penalty levied on that nation. They're not allowed to marry into the regular general population of the miyuchasim, those who comes from high genealogy. But that's only up until 3 generations. But by the 3rd generation, a Mitzri is allowed to marry the regular people. Why? Like to say of Mitzri, Kiger Hoyisi Biarzo. Because even though they treated us so horribly, but originally when we came, they gave us haven, and they gave us a sanctuary, and we were there in their land, and for a few years they did treat us okay, and that we have to let them come and marry the rest of us. Okay? Which is not true by someone else, which deals with Amoini and Moyavi. Look at the previous pasuk. Look at 6. Lo Yovi Admoini Umoyavi Bikal Hashem. Amoini or a Moavite or an Ammonite are not allowed ever to marry a male. A female lady is allowed to, but a male Moyavi is not allowed to marry into the rest of the general population. They can marry each other, they can marry a ger, but they can't marry a Yisrael, a Levi, or a Kahenis. Ad Olam, that Ador Asiri, this remains forever. Now why? Why? Because Al Dvar Asher Lekitmu Eschem Belechem V'mayim. You see, we're Mishpacha, they come from Lot. And Lot was the recipient of tremendous Tova from who? From Avram Avinu. Avram went out, he fought the Molochim, he was able to, he put his life in jeopardy, and he was saved from stone because of Avram. So, and the whole nation of Ammon and Moab came about because of the chesed of Avram Avinu. So you would think a nation collectively should have come to their mishpacha, to cousins, who we are, and give us something. But what did they do? Not only did they not do that, but they sent Bilam to curse us, and they came out to fight us, and this was their, and because of that, the Torah says, they are tainted. Their genealogy is tainted if they're a male. I guess it's receptive for the only the males, but not the females. But for the males, they are not allowed to join the rest. They could become Jewish, but they can't marry the rest of us. Why? Because they should have come out, and they did. You do a toivah to somebody, and you don't want to do anything back as a sign of thanks to someone. That is un-Jewish, and that is contrary to
what it means to be a Jew. And we can't have that type of an individual as part of the Jewish people. And that's why they're never allowed. A Mitzri, this is an amazing thing. The Mitzris took our babies and murdered them. And we have to remember always, every single day, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of what they did to us. So that we remember. But we have to remember that they were once good to us, so we allow the converts to come after three generations. But the Amoni, the Moavi, and the Ammoni, never. With Dor HaTziri, forever, they are barred from being amongst us. Because we're Makar Tova, and they're not. This goes to show, it's an unbelievable thing. Let me share with you what the Shalom HaKodesh points out, that one of the reasons why Yosef, he took the lands when he had all the money, right? He took everyone's lands, gave it to Paro. Just the lands of the priests, the Kohanim, the pagan priests, he didn't touch. Well, how come he didn't touch the pagan priests? So the Shalom HaKodesh brings down from the Targum Yonasan, he says that the reason is because when he was in trouble, and there was a question whether, and he was being accused of crimes he didn't commit with Ashes Potiphara, right? Ashes Potiphar. So the individuals who ruled in his favor to say that you shouldn't kill him, just imprison him, were the religious leaders, the Kohanim, those pagans. And Yosef was Makir Tova, that they spoke on his defense. And because of that, this is Targum Yonasan. So here Yosef also practiced that. Let me share with you another place where there is Hakaras HaTov. By Yaakov, when he sends Yosef. So what does he say? Lirais es sholem hatzon. To see how the brothers are going to be, and also how well the tzon is. How well the tzon is. So it is brought down in Medrash Tanchuma, because Yaakov and he should worry about animals. I mean, maybe he should know about the business, but it's really Yaakov involved with the business like that. But the answer is that because Yaakov felt an appreciation for that that allowed him to live in a higher standard, that gave him a nice living, he wanted also for these creatures, for these animals, to be taken care of too. Shalom Hatzon. This is what the Medrash Tanchuma, please, brings down. Now, I'll show you, there's another thing that's just an amazing thing. There's a halacha in Parshas Mishpatim that the Torah says, look at number 5 on your sheets. Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli. We have to be holy people, you have to eat kosher, right? To be a holy person, you eat, you are what you eat, you have to be a holy person. What happens if, let's say, something becomes treif? If, let's say, there's an animal that has a disease or a blemish in their veshet, in their windpipe, and because of that they would have died anyway, and then you shefta, that's considered a treifa. Okay, what do you do with that type of meat? The Torah says lekelev tashlichu noisa, you should give it to the dogs. So why do you give it to the dogs? It's a special thing. The Torah says lekelev tashlichu noisa, why do you give it to the dogs? The reason why you give it to the dogs is because during Matas Vachoros, the Pasuk says, Uvachol b'nei Yisrael lo yechret kel v'shono, you know, a dog did not bark in the Jewish neighborhoods. Even though there was a cat there and there was a mouse, right? A dog did not bark. You know, you go by, you know, beware of dog. You know, the dog's always doing. There was a nace, the dog controlled themselves, and because that, so that they should not think that the non-Jews should know that there were no dead, anyone who died in the Jewish neighborhood, and this plague only had to do with the non-Jews and not the Jewish people. And that part was Mekadoshim Shemayim. For all eternity, when we have something treif, alpo, right? You give the dog food, you give it to the dog. You know, full beef, right? Give the beef to the dog, and the dog enjoys that. That's, and brought down the Gemara of Shimon bar Yochai, when he was sick, you know, he when he came out of the when he came out of, for all the years that he was 21 years in the cave, and he suffered so, he had actually all of these problems, and he went to the Chamei Tveria, the hot waters of Tveria, and the hot waters of Tveria healed his wounds, and he was able to recover, and he was so appreciative that he was able, with his Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to correct a lot of the tumah. People didn't know where certain kvarim were, and kohanim weren't allowed to move in certain places. So he was able to discern where the tumah was, where the kvarim were, and he made all of these tikkunim. Why? Because he was appreciative to the Chamei Tveria, to the waters of Tveria, that neighborhood that brought him healing. This is how far. And the Ksav Sefer himself says that when we say in the Haggadah, Ilu Eloitei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Avosei Mitzrayim, then we would have been Mishubadim Ha'il Levar Mitzrayim. What does it mean? That if Paro would have let us out right away without the Makos, without forcibly taking us out, we would have owed that HaKadosh HaTov to him, and that would have connected us to us. So it was a chesed that God did it against his will, the Chayzik Yad, and that we owe nothing to Paro, and that is helpful, and that Chayyadim also brings down in his Sefer, that the whole mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em really is based on Hakaras HaTov, and in fact, this is manifest in Halacha, in the Rajva. In the Chumash HaRajva, there's a Halacha, that if a person has an Eved Kanani, he is not allowed to free him, because it has to, the Halacha is that it's supposed to be Avodim L'Yolam, Yolam B'hem Tavodim. They're supposed to be Avodim forever. So what happens if a person, because he had a maid, Shivcha Kenanis, who was a maid, who was good to her, he left the Tavod to his children, that when I die, I want you to free her, give her her freedom. Now there's an Avela to free a person who is a Shivcha Kenanis, because Yolam B'hem Tavodim, the Torah says, they don't want that the status should change, and you're not really supposed to do it, and there's an Isser. So the Rajma said, if they inherit, then already he could have maybe done it if he would have been over the Isser. But now he wants his children to do it, and they would be over an Isser. So how do you explain it? So the Rajma paskins, the Aveira of not listening to your father, and because he had felt the Hakaras HaTov for this maid that helped him, is mechayiv the children to even be over on this inyan of Leila Bem Tavodu, and to free and give a letter of emancipation to allow her to be free because of the Hakaras HaTov that the father felt. This is reflected in that. And there's a remarkable Shita Mukubetzis. The Shita Mukubetzis brings down in Babu Kama Daf Tzadi Beis Amit Beis, that he brings a incident that occurred to the great Rav Yitzchak Elfasi. Rav Yitzchak Elfasi was the Rif in the back of the Gemaras. He was the first codifier of Halacha in Gemara. Okay, he was the first one, Rav Yitzchak Elfasi. So if you want to know Halacha, you go to the back, you see how the Rif paskins, Rav Yitzchak Elfasi. So the great, who Rav Yitzchak Elfasi, was the Rebbe of the Rima Gash, and the Rima Gash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, and the Rambam. And so that the halacha of the Rambam comes from this Rebbe of the Yitzchak Elfasi. So anyone who learns Gemara knows that the Rif is, you know, the Rif, okay? So what does the great Rebbe Yitzchak Elfasi do? That he brings down in Shita Mukubetzis that what happened was that there was a din Torah on a bathhouse. And of this bathhouse, when it was owned by a certain Jew, The Jew allowed Rav Yitzchak Elfasi to go and to take baths there, and he was healed. He was also not feeling well, and because of that he was healed. And the person lost his money, and it went into a foreclosure, and he was supposed to be the judge who was supposed to adjudicate all of what would happen, splitting up the bathhouse and who would own it. And he recused himself from this case. And why? What was his reason why he recused himself? The reason is because he felt a debt of gratitude to the actual structure that gave him life again, that healed him. And because he benefited so much, he felt it wasn't seemly for him to sit in judgment over that inanimate object. Absolutely amazing. And you find that the same thing occurred to Moshe Rabbeinu. The first three makos, we have dung, blood, tzvardeya, frogs, and kinim, and lice.
those Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to perform, but who actually hit the Nile? Who actually hit the ground in order to perform the kinim? Who was the one? It was Aaron. And why? We all know the Rashi, brought down the Medrash, because Moshe Rabbeinu felt the Yam saved him when he was a baby. He couldn't hit it. And the earth, the Ofar next to the Nile, saved him because he was able to bury the Mitzri, so for a time he was protected until he was disclosed by Dazan Bavira. So they also benefited him, so he couldn't hit it. And now I want to ask my question. So I gave you all of these different places of how important Hakaras HaTov is. My first question was, Mishum Reishis, what's so important about Bikurim? That's why Hashem created the whole world. There's 612 other mitzvos. Why is Bikurim singled out? My other question is inanimate objects. I mean, come on. Moshe Rabbeinu is unwilling to hit. He's unwilling to hit the Yam. Why? Because the Yam was good to him. I mean, it's an inanimate object. It has no feelings. I understand a person, but it has no feelings. It doesn't talk back when you talk to a wall. Hello? I mean, come on. What is the purpose? Who gains from that? You know, how does it make sense? And also, lo yovei moyavi and amaini, right? So we said because they should have come with food to us, right? That was the complaint the Torah specifically said, and because of that, they could be Jewish, but they ain't marrying us, right? You marry your own, you ain't going to marry our family. That's the law, right? They have halachas of Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Right? They have seven Noahic commandments. Is Hakaras HaTov one of them? So the Ramban learns that part of dinim, of having judicial courts, is ethical imperatives. You know, something that's logical, that's moral, that's ethical, they're also obligated in. But guess what? Most Rav Rishonim, most Poskim say that's not part of the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So they weren't obligated for it. So why is the penalty so severe? They, you know, maybe we have it, but they don't have it. They have Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Damim, Eivir Menachai, right? They have all these other stuff, and Dinim, but this is not included. So why is the penalty so severe? And also by klavim, you know, I mean, they're dogs. So I have to give a dog because his great 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 grandpa. I mean, maybe an Egyptian dog, you know, but I don't understand. Maybe German shepherds. I don't get it. And I have to give it to the dog because in Mitzrayim the dog didn't bark. I mean, it's a dog. So how do you understand this? How do we make sense of the whole thing? And I want to ask one more question. And this question has to do with what we say every day. Part of our mitzvah is we have to say Kriya Shema, right? We all say Kriya Shema. We wake up, we go to sleep, we say Kriya Shema, we have a mitzvah twice a day. And what are we supposed to say? V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha. Behold, now you have to love Hashem with your whole heart, with your whole neshama, with all of your might. You have to love Hashem. This is a difficulty. God is legislating emotion. You love me whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, you must love me. Hello? It's a feeling, it's a love. I have to. The Torah requires me to love? I mean, come on. I understand the Torah tells me to do. The Torah tells me I should watch. I should perform. But I should feel? The Torah requires me to, you should feel this way. So how do you understand? Also, the halachos of loy sachmo. You shouldn't want. You shouldn't covet someone else's. You shouldn't covet. Torah legislates emotion. But how do you explain this whole idea that the Torah legislates emotion? And that, I think, points to the answer to this is one general principle. And it goes to understanding the etymology, the meaning of the actual words that we're talking about. And these are the two words. I should say phrases. Hakaras hatov and kofi tov. Hakaras hatov and kofi tov. What is hakaras hatov? So we translated it to mean gratitude, right? In English you say it's gratitude. And kofi tov means ingratitude. But in actuality, the two words are not exactly that. Hakaras hatov means, literally, to recognize good. And kofi tov means to deny good. So, isn't there two stages? There should be two stages. I recognize good, okay, and now I decide if I'll feel gratitude or not. But that's not the way it works in Lashon Kodesh, in the Holy Tongue. There's no word for gratitude. And there's no word for ingratitude. The only word we have for gratitude is Hakaras HaTov. Because that's the way God created us all. That's the secret. The secret is the way that God created us is, if you're a mensch, is that if you recognize the good, you invariably have to feel gratitude. That's the way a man is made. And when you recognize the good, you have to feel the gratitude. That's why ingratitude isn't that I recognize the good, but I'm feeling ingratitude. You have to deny the good that was done. You have to come up with reasons why you meant it really for yourself. And the reason why mommy and daddy did it, that's all it is, because that's what mommies and daddies do. And that's, you were really in it for yourself. And that changes everything in the whole picture. You understand that, then you'll understand how critical and how crucial it is to be have Hakaras HaTov, to be able to have this, as to be an expert in being able to recognize good. Because if once you recognize the good, then you will be able to come to Ve'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. Because once you realize all of the tzedakah that Hashem does constantly for you, you invariably, your heart will be open, and therefore Hashem can say, V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. Why can God legislate an emotion? Because all you got to do is be an honest person and open your eyes to the reality of your life. And that's why, if you look at the Chovos HaLevavos, one of the great works, the classic work, and the Chovos HaLevavos have the Shara Avodas Elokim. If you look through all of the chapters that he writes, what he does is he's predicating his whole entire part of that book on this idea. This idea of that Hakaras HaTov, you are forced without even wanting it, you have to feel gratitude. And the ingratitude comes when you have to deny the good. And what he does, he lists all the good things that Hashem does for you in a different day. Your hands move, your heart beats, the sun that shines, the beautiful places that you have, oxygen, and all the wonderful things that he talks about. He takes apart the whole world. And if you just for a moment think about it, then that is part of Avodas Elokim. You serve Hashem. Because it invariably creates you to be that person who serves Hashem. And that's what Hakaras HaTov is. And that's what Kofi Tov. So then you understand why it's important for even an inanimate object. You see, we're not concerned with the Nile. We're not concerned even, Yaakov, with the Tzon. What was concerning Yaakov was himself. Because, you know, it's behavior modification. He was worried to get into a habit of taking things for granted, of not looking at things and appreciating the blessings that Hashem gives you.
So therefore he told Yosef, tell me how the tzon is doing. I'm concerned with the animals too. Because that's what a tzaddik does. He refines that capacity.
The great Rav Yitzchak Elfasi taught a great lesson. And he didn't think that he could have done anything else. Because of the fact he was so great, he recognized that even an inanimate object, he felt an hakaras hatov, he had to show his gratitude, and he couldn't sit in judgment over that place that he felt that level of hakaras hatov. And you see that the more that a person is refined in this mead of hakaras hatov, the closer he comes to recognizing Hashem himself. And let me share with you what Chazal tell us. And look on your sheet, on number 8. In the beginning of the Mitzrayim story, what does the Torah tell us? Vayakam Elochodosh. Right? There was a new king that came on the scene. Asher lo yodas Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. So what does it say here? That the beginning of Paro's sin was denying the good that Yosef did. And at the end of the story, you see that he denies the existence of God. And our sages learn the following lesson. And this is brought down in Chazal. Look at number 9. Ko ha-kofer b'toivosoi shel chaveiro. If you deny the good that your friend does for you, and we know why people deny it, because it's an obligation you feel. You don't want to feel obligated. You don't want to feel you have to come on to somebody. So that's why my Zayda used to say, I don't know why this guy hates me. I never did him a taiva. Because if the people who feel obligated to you, they feel they can't pay you back for the good you did to them, then it's a knee-jerk reaction. And usually it's the jerk that does it, right? And that's human nature. But that's not who we have to be, and that's not who you try. You try not to be that way. And what happens at the end? If you deny the good that your friend does for you, then you deny, really, you get used to it. And you get used to it. That's a slippery slope. And you won't even recognize the good that Hashem does for you. You get used to that. And that's why the beginning of Geula begins with Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Aaron, how can you do it? I can't do it. I can't do it. And that's what Hashem wanted. And you see later on by the Midyanim, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go and fight the Midyanim. They did terrible things to us. They were instrumental in thousands of Jews dying. They almost killed us all. And yet, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoyim Nikmas Hashem, and who does he send? He sends Pinchas to do it. Moshe doesn't do it. Why? Because he couldn't bring himself. Even though they did a horrible thing. And God said, you have to fight against them. They're our enemies. But he couldn't go to battle. He couldn't be the general. And he didn't do anything wrong. Because Hakaras HaTov is part of what it means to be a Jew. And if God tells me to fight against them, he doesn't mean me. He means the man under me, the general Pinchas, to go out and fight. And that is what Hakaras HaTov teaches you. So I think we pretty much, with this idea, we could understand why the Rif, and why you understand why Bereishis Bara Lekim. Why is it that because of mitzvah Bikurim, God created the world? Because the whole point that God created the world, the reason of our existence, is for us to live in a world and to notice and to feel an appreciation, a love for Hashem Yisbarach. Not to be as that grandmother who at the end of a miracle done to her, she complains about what? The hat. Where's the hat? And how many times do we see everything done for us? Except, you know, beautiful day, gorgeous day, sun is shining, beautiful picnic, families together. What? You forgot the mustard? I can't believe you forgot the mustard! Oh, Adam! What's the matter? Oh, forget it! Forget it! All right.
But how many times are we that? And this is why Hakaras HaTov is so important. To recognize, to see, and to be that person that just appreciates so much of life. You have a joy of life. You appreciate what's happening in your life, and things are absolutely beautiful. And let me share with you the great words of the Ramban himself. The Ramban talks about, remember I talked about Hakaras HaTov more than just saying thank you, and I talked about it happens to be everything that life is about. You know, I wasn't just saying these platitudes. I am telling you something that the Ramban himself speaks about. Look at the Ramban, number 10. And we will end here, and maybe I'll end with a little bit of a story, okay? Vihi Kavonas HaYetzirah. This Ramban is found after the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the conclusion of Parshas Bo. I would suggest you look at the Ramban if you have a chance. Nakamides. He says the following. Shein lo notam acher b'yetzirah harishayna. There is no other reason. There is no ultimate, that this is a fact, the ultimate objective of creation itself. There's no other explanation for the first creation. Vein le'elyon b'tachtonim chefetz milvad zeh, that the Most High has no desire for earthbound creatures except this. Pretty heavy, huh? That the Ramban says, the purpose for our life, the only reason why we are here is for the following reason. Oh, I'm sorry, we're all out of time. Okay. For the following reason. Sheyeda ha'adam, that man should know, v'yoyda le'likov sheboroi, and acknowledge to his God that you, God, created me. V'kavonos remimus hakol b'tzfilois, and that's the purpose for raising our voice in davening. V'kavonos batech nesios, and the purpose for making a shul. Uschus tzfilos harabim zehu, that is the purpose for us davening together in a shul. Sheyeh livnei odom mokom, there should be a place, sheyiskaptzu, that we should all gather together, v'yoydu l'keil, and that we should be able to acknowledge to God, sheborom, that He created, v'yifarsim zeh, and He should publicize this. V'zu kavonos, and this is, so in other words, that this is the whole point of our creation, is to recognize that Hashem created us and that we thank Him. And that's what it means to be a Jew. Yehudi comes from Lashon Hoidu, Hashem Kitoiv. So the very essence of who we are is Hakaras HaTov. And let me share with you a story that I read in a magazine. And the story goes, and I mentioned this in my show, and I'll mention it again, because it meant a lot to me. There was a woman who was blind for all of her life. And she went through an operation that allowed her to see. And she wrote this article, The First Day of Sight. And she wrote about how wondrous that day was for her. She was just looking at all the colors. And all the everything, the trees that she never saw. She saw the blue sky. She went into a supermarket. And she was looking at the yellow bananas and the oranges and the different colors of apples, the green apples and the red apples. And she was just floating on air. She was the happiest person in the world. She just couldn't believe it. She was seeing all these colors. The greens, everything. So she went to the checkout to purchase all of these fruits. And there was an altercation between two people. They had an argument in line. And they started to argue very vehemently. So she stopped in the middle and she says, "What are you arguing about? Why are you upset? Why are you arguing? Look! Oranges! Look! Look! And a banana! Look at the banana! Look how beautiful!" And they thought she was crazy. But who was crazy? Who saw really what was there and who didn't? And that is the secret of really Hakaras HaTov.
And that's the whole point. You know, we say in davening that if our hearts were filled, you know, like the sea, then Hashem Yisbarach, you know, we there's not enough to thank you, Hashem. But what do we have to thank you, Hashem? With what Hashem gives us, with our own mouths, our own hearts. This is a great bracha. So I just want to all thank you. Thank you so much for coming. I so much appreciate all of you for sitting nicely. And I thank you for saying thank you about my drasha, even though maybe it's not a thank you, but who else is going to say thank you about a drasha about saying thank you? So I give you HaKoros HaTov and Amir Tashem. May we all be Zaycha to sing the Shir Chodosh with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bim Shirbonu, Bim Herav Yomeinu. Amen.